This process is reminiscent of the simplification that takes place in the face of dialect contact, but it's far more dramatic. Plus, during the birth of a Creole, the initial simplified system eventually becomes more complex. And the original simplified language, referred to in linguistics as a pidgin language, becomes a full-fledged language, a Creole, one as complex as any other language variety. In the Charleston area, people of African descent living in the Sea Islands created a Creole called Gullah or Geechee out of English and African heritage languages. Nowadays, Gullah is fading away as its speakers conform more to general American English, or at least general Southern English. But it was its own language, not a variety of English. And it's even possible that today's African American English descended from this Creole, or a similar Creole born somewhere else in the American South, or the Caribbean Islands. The exact origin of African American English is a matter of debate among linguists, and is best left for another discussion. What holds without argument, though, is that the English dialect that developed among descendants of African slaves in the U.S. has been, and continues to be, tremendously important among its speakers, for Americans in general, and throughout the world. The final colonial dialect hub is New Orleans. It wasn't until 1803 that New Orleans passed into American hands as part of the Louisiana Purchase. When English speakers moved in, they encountered a complex linguistic mix that had been in place and in flux for practically a century before they got there. The first European settlers were French, along with some Germans, and soon thereafter, slaves from Africa and the West Indies were brought in. This time, the Creole the Africans created had French vocabulary, not English, and it survives today as Louisiana Creole. New Orleans has also traditionally been home to a uniquely American brand of French, Cajun French, descended from the French dialect of the Acadians who came to New Orleans from Nova Scotia and New Brunswick in Canada in 1765. Nowadays, the impact of the Cajuns on the linguistic landscape of New Orleans is mostly in the form of Cajun English. It's influenced by Cajun French, but it's English, and it's spoken by native English speakers and by people who don't even know French. The Creole and Cajun peoples of New Orleans have had a lasting impact on language and also on culture. Many of us are familiar with Cajun and Creole music and with foods like étouffée and beignet, two borrowings that clearly come from French. We're also familiar with jambalaya, whose origins have been said to be just about everything from Spanish to French to African to Native American. Again, there were hundreds of Native American languages in North America when the English first got there, and indigenous American languages were especially important in the earliest days of English settlement. The colonists encountered all sorts of geographic features, plants, animals, and foods they were unfamiliar with, and they needed words for them. Captain John Smith, one of the founders of the Jamestown colony, noted such Native American words as raccoon, persimmon, tomahawk, and moccasin. Well, at least these were the Englishized versions of the original words. Early Americans also borrowed lots of indigenous names for places and geographic features, so-called toponyms. So, for example, the Shenandoah River, the Chesapeake Bay, Accomack County, and the city of Pocosin, all in the colony, later the Commonwealth of Virginia. We'll have more to say later on the impact of indigenous languages on American English and vice versa. For now, while we're back in Virginia and back in Shakespeare's day, let's close by considering a question that you might have had in the back of your mind. Can we still find pockets of Shakespearean English in the U.S., maybe in isolated areas of the Appalachian Mountains or on the small East Coast islands where some of the earliest English-speaking settlers landed? The very first dialect of American English I studied when I was a graduate student was that of Ocracoke Island in North Carolina's Outer Banks. Ocracoke is a fascinating place. Pristine beaches, wild ponies, and relics of its days as Blackbeard the Pirate's stomping grounds. English speakers began exploring the area in Shakespeare's day, and today many people suspect that the island's highly distinctive dialect is Elizabethan English, preserved intact since the late 1500s and early 1600s. After all, the island is 20 miles from the mainland, and even today you can only get there by boat or a small plane. Perfect for cultural and linguistic conservation, right? Well, let's see.